Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, today I want to begin to speak about an interesting topic, a subject I have titled The 7 Attitudes That Produce Failure and How a Wise Person Should Learn to Avoid Them. It's interesting because, you see, most of the time we'll talk about how to produce success. Of course, the title of this program is The Way of Success. But I realize something, that sometimes, all right, when you are going in a particular direction, you must learn how not to go in another direction. A friend of mine, when he wants to give direction to you, he usually gives very detailed directions. He will tell you, look, you will find this building, you take a second turn. He gives you name of streets and counts buildings. But there's one interesting thing which really makes me laugh, but I realize how instructive it is. They will begin to tell you the signs that you have missed the place. He will tell you that once you see this particular tall building, yellow, he has this kind of green windows, you expect to get a direction from that. He will tell you, once you see that building, you have already missed the way. That building is not on that road. He will give you another one. Once you see this particular road that's like this, that turns this way, if you find yourself at that junction, you have gone past your destination. And that's such a beautiful way that, by which he gives descriptions. And it really helps one a lot. You understand what I'm trying to explain? So that sometimes when you are going in a particular direction, you must know where not to go so that you will remain on the correct direction. That's why I want to go off what is common and normal today by talking about the 7 attitudes that produce failure and how the wise may avoid them. Do you understand the point I'm making here? In fact, I only put that word, how the wise may avoid them, so as to make people get interested in learning those 7 attitudes that produce failure. Now, I want you to know them so that you will be careful to avoid them. Now, listen, before I begin to go into that in details, I would like to lay some foundations concerning what I am talking about. And my foundation, I will lay first of all by reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And I'll read from a very easy translation, the New Living Translation, so that all of us might easily relate with what the Bible is saying here. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Let me start from verse 2. It said, "The purpose of these proverbs is to teach people wisdom and discipline, and to help them understand wise sayings." It said, "Through these proverbs, people will receive instruction in discipline, good conduct, and doing what is right, just, and fair." He said, "These proverbs will make the simple-minded clever. They will give knowledge and purpose to young people." Let me just take a break for a second before we continue reading in verse 5 to explain something here. Now, this is speaking specifically about the book of Proverbs, but actually the same principles apply to the Word of God. If you go and read from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, it will tell you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He said that the man of God, or the child of God, let me use that application now, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, prepared for every kind of good work. Now, I just read that one just to digress shortly, so that we know that these principles being stated in the book of Proverbs don't apply only to the book of Proverbs alone, but they actually apply to the whole of the Word of God. And that's what the Bible says, that how can a young man keep his way pure, but by keeping it according to thy word. Anything that God speaks, any scripture, all right, is profitable, the Bible says. He helps us make the right choices. Now, let's get back to the book of Proverbs. He said, "These proverbs will make the simple-minded clever. They will give knowledge and purpose to young people." Now, let's read from verse 5. "Let those who are wise listen to these proverbs, and they will become even wiser. And let those who understand receive guidance. By exploring the depths of meaning in these proverbs, parables, wise sayings, and riddles." He said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools despise wisdom and discipline." Now, Solomon was speaking here. Actually, he was quoting from what his father David said in verse 8. He said, "Listen, my child, to what your father teaches you. Don't neglect your mother's teaching. What you learn from them," please notice, "will crown you with grace and clothe you with honor. My child," he says in verse 10, "if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, 'Come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive as a grave swallows its victims.' Though they are in the prime of life, they will go into the pit of death. He said, and the loot we'll get. That's the people, wicked people now speaking now about their plans. He said, we'll fill our houses with all kinds of things, or treasures. Come on. Now they're advising this young man. He said, come on, throw in your lot with us. We'll split our loot with you. This is the counsel that the father is giving to the son. He said, don't go along with them, my child. Stay away from their paths. Please notice the word paths. I want you to notice that word paths. He said, they rush to commit crimes. They hurry to commit murder. All right? Let me just now the verse 18. He said, these people, they set an ambush for themselves or their own souls, and they booby trap their own lives. Such is the fate of all those who are greedy for gain. It ends up robbing them of life, that is, their own very life. Let me just stop there and continue what I'm trying to say, why I read this particular scripture. Now, there are many things in here which you will notice as you examine them very closely. One of the most important ones I want to point out is the fact that he described that you should avoid their paths. And then that word path, I want to quickly explain. You see, if you read my book, I describe this. Choice is key to destiny. You see, I explained that life is in paths. That is, when I say paths now, that is direction, roads, all right? And that what you get in life is not, I've said this several times, I'm sure you've heard me say this several times. What you get in life is never a product of your desire. What you get in life is not a product of what you wish for. Englishman said, if wishes were horses, even beggars would ride. That what you get in life, however, is a result of the path that you are on. That's why David told us in Psalm 1, he said, blessed is the man who does not walk in certain paths. That is, who does not walk in the way of sinners or stands in the path of the wicked. That is, it's where the man is standing. It's where he's walking. It's the direction he's walking in that decides what he gets in life and not the desires that he has concerning life. So these people, then Solomon was saying here, that there is a path for the life of this crooked man, and he was telling the wise person, avoid this path. The reason why I brought this up again is to let us understand the fact that life is in paths. And when you want to get somewhere, now listen to this, you may not be able to say specifically, all right, where you will get to in life. That is, you may not be able to say that my name is Joseph. One day I will become the prime minister in Egypt. Or that, hey, my name is Okechukwu. One day I am going to become the president of Nigeria. Or my name is Barack Obama. One day I am going to become the president of the United States of America. You may not be able to state that specifically. But God has given us enough information in these Holy Scriptures to be able to say at least the direction our lives are going. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is, you will be able to say, look, it is towards good that I am going. For example, he said, the fear of God, all right, gives long life. So you will know for sure that if you continue in the fear of God, then you are walking on the path that guarantees long life. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is, you may not know exactly, precisely. God may not give you that information, usually doesn't, of the details of what is going to come out in your life. But you will know whether you are heading in the right direction or you are not. And that's what I'm going to explain. That life is in paths. What do I mean by paths? Physically, we'll see paths. Roads are being built here and there. You see those paths. But spiritually, the paths are moral. These paths are based on principles. That is, the principle by which a man walks is what determines what comes out of his life. It's what determines where he eventually gets to. When you see Jesus talking, he will tell you that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many people are walking on it. But narrow is that way that leads to life, and there are few people that find it. What does that tell you? Well, what you are going to get in life, it is determined by the road that you are walking on. Please follow what I'm going to explain. And I'm saying that road, all right, is the moral attributes of your life. That road are the principles by which you walk in life. And by judging your ways, by judging the principles by which you walk, you can have an idea of where your life is going. Now, I am not talking about where you are wishing you would get to. I am talking about by using the scriptures, the word of God, you will have an idea of the direction that you are facing in life. You need to be able to stand and decide, what path am I on? It's important for you to take time out and reflect. What road am I on? And this thing is only as you look at the choices you have made. I said I'm talking about the seven attitudes that lead to failure and how the wise may avoid them, or how a young man or young woman should avoid them. And so when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about some things I have noticed in life and from studying the word of God that people do and their lives don't turn out well. Please follow what I'm going to explain. Because every day I see it. People are still putting their part, and it's painful. You see people go to church, they pray and pray and pray. You know, sometimes, some people don't like the kind of things I preach. That's a matter of fact. Because I want people to reflect and look inside. I have discovered that what really gives, now listen, what really gives breakthrough is not the length of prayer that people pray. Let me say this again. What really gives breakthrough is not the length of prayer that people pray. It is not exactly the church they go to or the one they don't go to. It is not the amount of deliverance they have gone through or the amount of deliverance they have not gone through. It is the manner of life that they have chosen or have refused to choose. I say the things I say because I see people, Jeremiah said, they have healed the hearts of the daughters of my people slightly, saying peace, peace when there is no peace. A lot of people are deceiving themselves and are being deceived, thinking that the way by which they will get the so-called breakthrough they are looking for is this prayer they are praying, this jumping up and down they are doing. No, listen to me. When you have prayed, you know what Elihu said? He said, this is how a man who will prosper will pray. He will say to God, that which I know not, teach thou me. And if I have done iniquity, I will not do it anymore. Are you getting my point? He said, in repentance and in rest, you will be saved. That is, it is in changing your ways that salvation comes. It's not just in prayer. Now, get what I explain? I'm not saying prayer is not good, but I'm saying that when you have prayed, God leads you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. It is those paths doing what is right. Take David, who wrote that Psalm 23 as an example. You know, some time ago, we're talking about certain presidents in Africa. Somebody said, this man is old, let him go away. Why come they didn't kill him in office? I don't want to mention him, he's one of these African countries. And I said, this man, nobody will kill him in office. He said, how are you so sure? I said, because the man who he fought and displaced from that office, though they were arch enemies, after he won as a rebel soldier, he left the man in peace and he did not kill him. I said, with all the rebellion that was against David, do you know why nobody could kill him? One of the most important reasons why nobody could kill David was that God gave him many opportunities, all right, to kill Saul, and he refused to put his hand out to kill Saul. He may have offended God, he may have done all kinds of things, but one thing was clear. He had bought long life for himself on the throne by sparing the life of Saul every time God gave him the opportunity because he refused to take vengeance for himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it's in repentance and in rest. That is when people change their ways. There are ways you are walking by that will ensure that you don't do well in life. What you do by prayer is to let God open that eyes to you. Listen, if you go for deliverance or you go for prayer and at the end of the day you don't change anything in your life, listen to me, you have not been delivered from nothing. The most important thing we need to be delivered from, believe me, is our wrong attitudes. Every day I go out and I see people do business. I see people relate with their business partners. I see people handle money. And I ask myself a simple question. This man does not plan to prosper, or he doesn't understand that what he's doing leads to failure. You lie and you cheat your customer. You don't realize that you're not lying and cheating the other person. You are lying and cheating yourself. Look at what he said in that Proverbs. He said that they are lying in wait for their own lives. That is, they are setting the trap against their own souls. They think they are doing it against somebody else. And interestingly enough, this one that is written clearly in the book of Proverbs now is still played out till today. Tell a young man, his friends tell him, this is the quick way to get money. And they don't live long. I don't understand why they don't learn the lesson. You don't live long because you want quick money. Listen to me. What leads to enduring prosperity is the path of righteousness that you have chosen for your life. Are you getting the point I make? Now, I'm talking about the seven attitudes of failure. All right? I'm just laying a foundation for us to understand that this is how life is. So you choose paths. And by studying the word of God, you can have an idea of whether you have chosen the right path or you have chosen the wrong path. And listen, let nobody deceive you that God is a liar, that the word of God is not true. God remains true, no matter what people say. Oh, for example, David said, I have been young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children beg bread. You can try to explain that one the way all you like. That is the word of God. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? And if you want to be in the position where you will never be forsaken by God in your life and have it so that your children will not beg bread and be lacking in their lives, then better choose the path of righteousness. That's the point I want us to understand, that life is in parts, and it's our responsibility, our conscious decision to get up and choose the path that we will follow. And I'm teaching so that we will not choose the path that leads to failure. I said 7 attitudes, all right, that begets failure. And those principles are the things that I call paths in life. Any man does some of these things that I'm going to begin to enumerate, then he's leading the direction of failure. Let me just say this again. I am not teaching these things so you're going to be judging your neighbor. I'm not teaching these things so you're going to be checking how somebody else is living his life. These words are being given to you to use to judge your life, to reflect upon your own lifestyle, upon your own attitude, so that you will see whether you are going in the right direction or you have chosen the wrong direction for your life. I hope you follow the point I'm trying to make here. Let me say another thing. See, you have only one life to live. Please don't make your life an experiment. There's a foolish thing I've heard a number of times. You try to give somebody counsel. You say, let's just finish it first. Okay, well, if you get it, what are you? You say, let us get there first. And when a man makes that kind of statement, I really easily lose respect for the person. Because what you are saying is that you have decided to turn your life into an experiment. The Bible says, heed instruction and be wise. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to heed instruction and get wisdom from instruction. That is so that our lives will not become experiments. The book of Ecclesiastes for me is a very beautiful book. And in it you see that God gives Solomon to us as an experiment. That is, Solomon at a point in time, I believe as led by the Spirit of God, decided to make experiments of life. He did all the things that people will run after. He ran after money, he ran after women, he ran after drink, he ran after enjoyment, he ran after all kinds of things. He even ran after what he called foolishness. He said to be careless about life. At the end of the day, he says vanity upon vanity. And I discovered that all this vanity is like chasing after the wind. Therefore, it's arrant foolishness for you to, in this day and age, still want to go to the experiments of Solomon. Alright, so as to decide whether it is good for you or it is not good for you. By the time you discover that's a bad thing about some of these things, you have reached the age in which you don't have a second chance. Are you getting my point? Sometimes I look at people, they're in their 20s and their 30s. They are still hustling and deceiving people and robbing people, you know, and conniving to cheat people. And I say, one day, oh boy, you are going to cross this age of 40. You are going to become 50. You will get to a point where you really cannot unlearn those ways anymore. And you cannot start life again. You will not start using yourself as an example of what not to do. Please, young women, you are the ones I'm particularly addressing tonight. You must learn the right ways. And I'm teaching the 7 attitudes, all right, of failure. Now, as an introduction, I'm going to quickly go through some of those attitudes. Now, I've not listed them, or now am I going to discuss them in the order of importance? But there are just 7 things that I just want us to look at one by one, so that young people will know. Look, listen. These are the things that if I follow after, they will result in my failure in life. These are the things that if I follow after, I will have problems. I'm not discussing them in the order of importance. I just want us to look at all of them totally. For example, one of the first ones I'm going to discuss is the issue of fear. I have seen that one of the reasons why men don't do well in life is because they are always afraid. They are always afraid, always looking for where things are safe. The Bible says that he that watches the wind will not sow, and he that observes the cloud will not reap. You know, I like the way it says in there, I think the Good News Bible or the Living Bible. He said that if you are waiting for conditions to be perfect, you will never get anything done. Everything they want to judge, they are judging with the attitude of fear. What if we start playing out scenarios that have never played themselves out and believing that we'll always be on the worst receiving end? The attitude of fear is one of the most potent ways to keep a man in failure. Never wanting to do what you know is right. God has given you all evidence, but when you use all the sound principles you know concerning life on how to make a decision, but you keep on trying to imagine that what if the worst happens and you never make a decision. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You can never travel, go for an interview, say, what if I have an accident on the road and die? Are you forgotten that thousands of people are traveling every day and they are not dying? And I know you've heard stories. Satan begins to magnify in your ears. Yes, this person traveled and never came back and the person died. And I say, what if that is my situation? That's one thing you must pray against and you must fight against. Fear is one of those attributes of failure that I'm going to discuss. Then again, I'll talk about arrogance. Arrogance is a very interesting thing. I know it all. Never ready to learn from anybody else. It's another of those attitudes of failure that if you have in your life as a young woman, listen to me tonight, you must repent of it. Do you understand? So that your life can begin to move in the direction of success. You never accept that something is your fault. You've done everything and you say, look, oh boy, this thing is wrong. If you jam somebody's car, it is not you, it is a person's fault. It is a brake that did not hold. It's never your fault. If you have that attitude, I call it the attitude of arrogance, and it's one of the moral failings that puts somebody on the path to total failure in life. And then, of course, as part of that, you say, I have done it before, always telling the stories of things that you did in the past, not realizing that there's still more to learn. Even though you are coming from somewhere where you may have done well, the other day I was reading the story of Ben Carson. He said he came into the university having been one of the best, if not the very best student in his high school, only for him to get into the campus as a pre-med student, and he realized that, listen here, everybody here is the best. Everybody here was the best where he came from. That this school seemed to have chosen the best of them to put them into this pre-med school. He quickly learned that if I continued the way I used to, listen, what he used to do before was to play most of the time and then crash and read towards the exam, and he still came out on top of the class. He realized that I was not really learning, that now I must begin to learn. Because he began to see life. He didn't say, hey, look, I was the best where I came from. What are people telling me? He said, no, I may have been good then, but life is different now. I'm seeing people better than me. I am seeing situations that my previous methods cannot handle. Therefore, I must change if I really want to succeed. Are you getting my point? Arrogance is one of those things that if you find in your life, you're fearful or you are arrogant. One of those are the things that will really, really set you up for failure later in life. Another one we're going to discuss is when people always forsake principles. When people are forsaking principles so as to please people or so as to get results, that's another very potent way by which you entrench yourself on the path to failure. That is, you want to do something, you don't have any clear-cut rules that you want to use. It's anything goes. Results is what is needed. That's what they use in the mafia. That is why they will kill people and say it is just doing business. Even then in the mafia, they still have their laws. For example, they have their law of omerta. Silence. You don't talk about this thing that we are doing. Do you get my point? That's even amongst evil men. But what am I saying? When you decide that you don't have strong principles by which you live your life, that's why young women go to school and the lecturer says, sleep with me, you get a good grade. She does not understand that it's not about good grade. It's not just about a good grade. There are moral principles of life that you must use. If you do not have moral principles by which you are leading your life, if you do not have moral principles in which certain things are sacred, for example, as a young girl, your body is sacred. Poverty will not let you give it to anybody. If you don't have principles, as a businessman, no, I will never cheat anybody. My hunger is not an excuse. These are principles that you must have. If you start bending principles, all right, you start bending laws and breaking your principles, forsaking things that you knew to be right in previous times just because you want results, then listen, you're already putting your feet on the path to failure. I'll discuss these things in details as we go. I just want to introduce some of them to us so that we understand the things that we are going to be saying. You know, I say I'm discussing seven attitudes of failure or seven attitudes that beget failure. Another one of them, which to me is very, very potent also, is the issue of lying. A liar is a failure in the making. Are you getting my point? In fact, it's very similar to the people who forsake principles. You forsake truth because you want to get results. You don't want to be punished, so you tell a lie. You don't want to fail, so you tell a lie. You want to get the promotion that you don't deserve, so you tell a lie. Listen to me. These are evil seeds that will germinate in your future, and the manifestation is called failure. We'll discuss it again in details. Part of lying is exaggerating. You keep on telling stories that are really not so. I've done this thing before. Last time we invested 10,000 naira, we got over 1 million. Listen, there's a story in your heart, quite all right, but it was not 10,000 you invested. It was 500 naira, and what you got was 700 naira back. Your small success does not give you the right to start bragging on things that you cannot handle. Are you getting my point? That's, in fact, like we say in churches, it is called testifying. Some people come up with, praise the Lord, oh, I have a testimony. This is what God did. And I did this, and then God suddenly came through. You don't tell the truth. You gave monies, you bribed, you slept with somebody that is not your husband, young girl. Oh, God has not done me a favor. I now have the admission. You are telling lies. Oh, you get my point? You are exaggerating. Yes, we know you prayed. We know you got the admission. But in between your prayer and admission, what are the other things you did so as to cripple the manifestation of God's power, but getting the results that you desired by force? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, watch out for these things. These are the things, because the problems that they bring to pass in your life, they don't come in day one. Maybe not in year 10. The day they are going to start, you have settled down chronically in a disorder and begins to beget results. That's saying that witches are disturbing you. Somebody starts praying for you and casting out demons that don't exist in your life. Are you getting my point? They start breaking curses that nobody placed upon you but yourself. Listen to me, if you place a curse upon yourself, nobody can break it for you except you first go to God in repentance. And listen, it is good, the Bible says, for a young man to bear his burdens in the days of his youth. Tonight, I'm particularly talking to young people. Get ready as you are finishing secondary school, you are going into university, or you are late in university now, you are about to leave and get a job. Better set the principles of life. Renounce all these ones that will make you fail forever. And that is what I'm teaching. Quickly, let me add a few other ones so that we'll close and we'll develop them in details next time. Another one is when you start backstabbing friends, people who trust in you, you betray them so as to get something. Yeah, three of you, friends, you are going for a particular job. You got there, you got to know that only one person is going to be taken. You sneak in while the other two don't know. Now, I'm not saying you can't take three people. But when you start backstabbing your friends, all right, so as to get something, taking advantage of them, get ready, you are a failure in the making. And then the issue of greed and covetousness. A greedy man, a covetous man, a man who is not satisfied with what God has given him now, who is not ready to wait for the time of his change, who is not ready to allow the time of God to take his process in his life. That's another failure in the making. God said, if I keep you down, I keep you in darkness. You kindle your own fire, you light your own light. He said, this you have of my hand, you will lie down in torment. Listen to me. A man who is greedy and covetous is a man who is not ready to wait for God. And that one also is going to meet failure later on in life. And last of all, anger. Continual anger and bitterness. Always blaming somebody for all the calamities of your life. And wishing that evil will come upon them. Listen to my friend, what you sow, you will also reap. The evil you are wishing somebody, you probably will also experience it also. You will have to let these things go. I've just briefly run over these seven things that we're going to be discussing. Next time, I'll continue by discussing them one by one. Please, particularly, call the young people around you. Say, Pastor Banky will be back on air next time. All right? Please, call them to come and hear these things. Do you understand my point? These are the things that will help them so that they don't make the wrong choices. And I'll develop them in details. Look, like Paul will say, begging you, be reconciled to God. Begging you, don't let your life go to waste. Don't do that which is wrong. I will not bless anybody. Do that which is right, and God will shine his grace and his mercy upon you. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.